Welcome back to the show, everybody. Got a great episode for you today. In this episode, I will be talking about the series slash finale for She-Hulk Attorney at Law. And basically, the way that's going to go is I'll start off with my non-spoiler review for the series as a whole. Then there's a bit of a non-spoiler review for the finale. And then there's a spoiler review for the finale. So that's what you can expect from this episode today. Before I get into any of it, I do have to thank today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Right, so the finale for She-Hulk Attorney at Law is available now on Disney Plus, and this video will be my season 1 slash finale review. I will have a non-spoiler and a spoiler segment for each, and these spoilers will come after. I'll let you know when that pops up in case you don't want them. But consider leaving a like on the video, I'd very much appreciate that. And subscribe if you like what you see here. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And let's get into this review. So I just wanted to start off by talking about the cast, as well as some of the creators slash directors. The series, 6 episodes, are directed by Kat Coiro, and 3 directed by Anu Velia, hopefully I'm saying that right, created for television by Jessica Gao. And we have the fabulous Tatiana Maslany playing Jennifer Walters slash She-Hulk. We also have Ginger Gonzaga as She-Hulk's best friend, Nikki Ramos. We have Melia Araya as the on-set She-Hulk reference, and I've seen a lot of little, Instagram posts and Facebook posts seeing her with, she has like these green sleeves on, a little bit of green right here on her chest, like where the skin shows, and I think some on her legs too, but she's super tall, and she is the reference that they use for She-Hulk, so I thought that was just kind of a cool thing to mention there. A lot of times those actors that are just on set as a reference don't get credited as much, but wanted to do that here. We also have Jamila Jamil from The Good Place, very much loved her on that show, as Titania. We have Steve Coulter as Jennifer Walters' new boss. His name is Holden Holloway. We have Renee Elise Goldsberry, who played Angelica in Hamilton, which I love that musical. She plays Mallory Book, one of the people that works at JLK&H, I believe it's called, with Jen. Who else do we have here? We have Josh Segarra as Pug, one of my favorite characters in this show for whatever reason. He's the best. Gotta love Pug in this series. We also have Tim Roth returning as Emil Blonsky slash Abomination. First time seeing him. Well, I guess you can't say it's the first time seeing him since Incredible Hulk, because we saw him for a minute in She-Hulk. Or not She-Hulk, Shang-Chi, similar sounds there. But yeah, it's cool to see Tim Roth back in this series. It's only fitting that he would be in this series. Obviously, we have Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner slash Hulk slash Smart Hulk slash Smug Hulk. Good seeing him in this show, even though he's not in a whole lot of episodes there. We also have Benedict Wong, yes, as Wong, or Wongers, as Madison calls him. And if you've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. We have John Bass as Todd, which the only other thing I've seen John Bass in was Baywatch. So, not a great movie, but I thought his character was something here. Maybe I'll get into that in a bit. But yeah, Charlie Cox comes back as Daredevil slash Matt Murdock. That is the big reason why a lot of people watch this show, because they did tease that in the trailer. We have Griffin Matthews as Luke Jacobson, the designer who makes clothes for She-Hulk. And then Brandon Stanley, who only shows up in one episode, technically two, but he is just literally, we only see the back of him walking away. But he plays Eugene Petilio slash Leapfrog, which is such a crazy character. And he's in the same episode with Daredevil, the same episode Daredevil shows up in. And that is the best one for sure. That's actually episode 8. So the episode I reviewed last week. Well, I guess it would technically be 2 weeks now as of posting this. But yeah, that's pretty much the main cast of this show. Give or take a few people that aren't in it a whole lot. Like, honestly, Jamila Jamil as Titania really isn't in it a whole lot, which I wouldn't say is necessarily a complaint of mine that she's not in it a whole lot, but I do wish we would have seen her a little bit more. But yeah, let me talk about the season as a whole. Most of the episodes are pretty underwhelming, and the show overall seems to lack direction. I'm not one of those people that's out here hating on She-Hulk just to hate on it, but I'm not going to ignore the fact that this is a very flawed show. Some of the comedy doesn't always land for me, but for the most part, I do enjoy it. I think it's a fun show. One of the issues I kind of have with it is just that the episodes are too short and it doesn't leave you enough time to do anything that really feels like it's important going forward. They lay the groundwork just enough to not make it completely out of left field when the finale shows up and things happen in there. But still, even by episode 8, we still didn't really know who the villain was, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. But yeah, like, I don't know. This show really does seem to kind of lack direction. It has 9 episodes, and it almost seems like the writers were like, we have 9 episodes, so that means we can just kind of mess around and have fun for most of them, which I'm fine with. But at the same time, you have to have an overarching story that feels conclusive by the time you get to the finale, and that's not really how it felt here for me personally. I don't absolutely hate the show. Is it my least favorite Disney Plus show so far? I hate to say this. I hate bringing this up because I know a lot of people love it, but it's not my least favorite. I would have to say my least favorite. You know, I even kind of hate that I don't like it, but Moon Knight, something about that show just really didn't do much for me. The finale I thought was rushed. I mean, a lot of these finales for these Disney Plus Marvel shows seem incredibly rushed. This one doesn't feel rushed because it doesn't feel like it's leading to anything, really. I mean, by episode 8 is when shit hits the fan and you feel like, oh man, can't wait to see what happens in the next episode. But as opposed to like pretty much every other one, the only thing that I was really anticipating and the only thing that a lot of people were anticipating was seeing Charlie Cox come back as Matt Murdock slash Daredevil. And you had to wait until episode 8 for that. So it was just people kind of being, for the most part, from what I hear, for the people that don't hate on this show just to hate on it, most people were just kind of underwhelmed by this show, and that's exactly how I feel here. I don't know. Would I say this is my least favorite Marvel show so far? I don't know. It's like neck and neck with Moon Knight. Something about Moon Knight I just didn't really care for. It's hard to explain sometimes why I don't necessarily like something. I feel like with stuff like this, I'd have to rewatch it a million times to fully understand what I don't like about it. But I don't think I have to like go into too great detail to like explain why I don't necessarily like this, because a lot of people don't really like this for a lot of different reasons. But my reasonings aren't because she's a strong female character or anything like that, or the show is too woke, which even at times it can be just like a tad too woke, but like doesn't really bother me nowadays. We get so much woke humor that I just kind of go with it at this point. You can't really avoid it. I mean, I guess you could, but I mean, that's just kind of humor that we're dealing with in this day and age, is a lot of woke humor. But I don't know. Overall, I do think the comedy works. I do think the actors that are in this show do a very, very good job. There's some episodes in there that are just really lame, and then some that are fun, and then some that are just awesome. The only episodes I would say are like actually my favorites, and this is in order. I would say my favorite is episode 8, the one with Daredevil, and then the first episode where, not just because Hulk is in it, but I do think it was a fun little origin there, figuring out, how Jen deals with her powers and whatnot, and what she's going to do going forward, having powers. I really did enjoy that first episode, even though it wasn't like the best first episode of any of these Marvel shows. I still had fun with it. Overall, I did have a lot of fun with this show, but the stakes just don't feel like they're there at all, because you don't really get any hints towards a villain until maybe episode 7. And up until that point, you're just like, okay, is Titania going to be like the main villain here? I wouldn't have minded that. But yeah, honestly, I think the show would have been better if Titania was the main villain. Yeah, I really do think if she was the person that we had for the villain and the person that we had She-Hulk fight in the very last episode, I would have been more fine with that than kind of what we got. But at the same time, the last episode does something so incredibly different from any other Marvel show or really any other Marvel movie, to where I gotta give it brownie points for that, because that finale was ballsy, and people are either gonna really like it or really hate it. For me, I still don't know how I feel fully, but I will commend the show and the writers for having the balls to do what they did in that last episode, which I'll get to in the spoiler review. But yeah, like I said before, I wish we could have seen more of Titania. There's a lot of people I wish we could have seen more of. Daredevil, I think the amount of time that we saw him was perfectly adequate. It didn't take over the show. And that's a big theme of this show, is that it's She-Hulk's show. Because, like, at the end of the day, she is in the title, She-Hulk. So you gotta, like, bring in these fun little characters, but not have them steal the show. And I feel like Daredevil, in a little bit, kind of stole the show a little bit in that 8th episode. But overall, like, it's still She-Hulk's show, still Jennifer Walters' show. So they stick to that for sure. But I don't know. Like, there's so many characters in here. Even Nikki, the best friend to She-Hulk, she isn't given like jack shit to do, really, most of the time. She has one little moment in one episode where you see her be really good at her job, and other than that, she's just kind of the supportive best friend that's just kind of there. But like, there's so many people in here that could have had more time to shine and just didn't. But I will say, for the most part, Tim Roth as Abomination slash Emil Blonsky got a perfect amount of time in this show to let that character breathe and develop and just kind of see where that character's been since Incredible Hulk. Like I said, we saw him a little bit in Shang-Chi, but that was only so much. He didn't have any speaking lines. We didn't really learn a whole lot about the character other than, hey, he looks different now. But yeah, I mean, Mark Ruffalo, he's only in a couple episodes, so he doesn't have a huge part in it, which I'm kind of glad about, because that could have really taken a lot of focus off of She-Hulk. So it made sense why they kind of took him out of the picture for a little while there. But yeah, Benedict Wong as Wong, he's in it for a couple episodes, and he's very fun to watch in here. So yeah, I mean, the people that you feel like should have enough time on screen do have enough time. It's just the smaller side characters that feel like they should be more important that just get absolutely nothing to do. So a little disappointing, especially with that runtime. Like, there's only so much you can do with that runtime to really flesh out characters and, still tell the story you want to tell. So excuse me there. Still getting over COVID. Bear with me. But yeah, let's talk about the episode, I guess, because don't think I have any other real notes here. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have for my season one notes. But yeah, let's talk about episode 9, which is called Whose Show Is This? And for the non-spoiler review here, you're still safe, don't worry. I'm not sure if I love or hate this episode. Hate's a strong word, so I don't think I'd say I hate it, but I'm indifferent on this one. Because at times, and I'll get into this a little bit with the spoiler review, so I'm going to try not to say a whole lot, but at times, this show kind of feels like it says, fuck you. And there were times in the show where it said, fuck you, but to the people that were hating on this show just to hate on it. And for this, I'm not one of those people that was hating on the show just to hate on it. I saw many flaws with the show, but I was still enjoying it for the most part. And there's some stuff that they did in the finale where I'm just like, Jen breaking the fourth wall saying, oh, this is what you wanted? Too bad. And I'm just like, or no, she's like, this isn't what you wanted, is it? And I'm like, kinda, a little bit. I mean, not necessarily 100% what I wanted, but in ways, I mean, that's kind of what it was building towards. So, I don't know. They had something in the last episode that was incredibly predictable. Something I pretty much knew about going into it. I wasn't like 100% certain that it was going to happen, but it ended up happening. And then they just completely pull 180 and completely surprised me, confused me, but definitely surprised me. Whether that's a pleasant or unpleasant surprise, I'm still kind of on the fence on. But I wouldn't say this is the weakest finale, because this finale does something, like I said, no other Marvel show or movie has done. Maybe, I don't want to say too much, never mind. At least in the MCU, this show, this finale does something way different, completely unexpected, even for the character that she is. So, like I said, I gotta give it brownie points, because, wow. They pulled something off that I never thought Marvel would do. So, there you go. That's all I can really say about that. But, let me see here. There's points where I feel like this show and this episode in particular get a little too meta, but I really don't know if it's too much because of... I'm dodging spoilers right now. It's hard to say, but, yeah, there's points in this show particularly, this show where I just feel like it gets a little too meta and the fourth wall breaking doesn't always work for me. But, you know, I guess if it were Deadpool, I would enjoy it. But even with Deadpool, if they did with Deadpool what they did in this finale, I still don't know how I would feel about it, to be honest. I'm not saying it just because she's a woman, obviously. Just because it's Jen Walters, I don't like her doing it. That's not the case. That's all I'm going to say on it. If you can't tell, it's hard for me to explain exactly how I feel about this, because it's still very much sitting with me, but, it can be a little too much sometimes for me. And I'm curious, I've heard other people talk about this with their reviews and their reactions and whatnot. They were curious if that twist that they had was the original plan. And there's a little scene in that finale with that twist that we actually saw in one of the trailers. And it's a very simple thing. It's just She-Hulk basically, you know, hopping onto the ground. And that's like one of the first few things we saw from She-Hulk. And it's that exact scene. So part of me is like, I'm pretty sure they completely had this plan from the beginning. But at the same time, there are elements of it that feel a little rushed. The CGI and the whole twist element, at least on She-Hulk, is just like, I hate to say it, but like unbearably bad. I'm just, especially since if this is something they had since the beginning, you'd think that they would have spent time on making it look really good. But it's the whole thing with, you know, not giving your VFX artists enough time to work on it. So I can completely understand it. Probably wasn't their first priority. But like I said, people are either going to love or hate the finale. Very few people are probably going to be in the middle. There's only really two ways it could go. But for me, I guess I am kind of a little more in the middle. So comment down below. Tell me what you thought of the finale without spoiling anything, please. If you want to talk spoilers about this finale or just the show in general, then I would recommend going to my Instagram at film_punch and just hit me up there, DM. If you want to talk about it, we can talk about it there. Or if you'd like, you can go and comment on any of the other She-Hulk reviews, because most of the episode reviews are complete spoiler reviews. So if you want to talk about it there, go ahead. But yeah, just don't be a dick to the people that haven't seen it yet. But I think that's all I have to say in terms of non-spoilers. So I'm going to get into spoilers now. If you do not want spoilers for the finale of She-Hulk, or really spoilers for the series in general, I recommend you click off now. I appreciate you watching. Let's get into it. So yeah, you've been warned. If you're still here and you haven't watched this, then you either don't care, like a lot of people, honestly, or you've already seen it. So let's get into it. But yeah, I'm mainly just going to talk about the last episode in terms of spoilers, because I don't know. There's things I could say about the show in general with spoilers, but that's kind of what those episode reviews were for. So mainly just going to talk about the last episode here. But yeah, let me kind of break down like each element of this episode kind of as it goes. So we start off with the classic She-Hulk intro, or like the classic Hulk show intro. I believe it's like an homage to the old Hulk show, which honestly feels completely out of place, if I'm not lying about this stuff, okay? This is how I feel. I feel like that was just completely out of place. It kind of felt like it really wasn't there for any particular reason, other than just to kind of do it, I guess. And then we see Jen. She's in a cell locked up like Abomination. The same, probably even the same cell that Abomination was in. And then she gets a plea deal, but she has to wear the inhibitor, power inhibitor, like Abomination is doing. Loses her job, loses her apartment, moves back with her parents. And in that time, she's trying to figure out what's going on with Intelligentsia and figure out who's behind it all. And then Pug and Nikki kind of infiltrate a meeting for the Intelligentsia, and finds out that Todd is in fact the Hulk King, which was not a surprise at all to me. I saw that coming pretty much since episode one. Maybe not episode one, but I pretty much saw that coming since that character was introduced. Just the way they introduced him, the way he talked to She-Hulk, the way he talked about She-Hulk, made it painstakingly obvious that he was most likely going to be the villain of the series. But yeah, some people were guessing that it would be the leader. Is that what it's called? The leader? Who's going to be in Captain America? What's that one called again? The new Captain America was Sam Wilson. I forget what that one's called. Surprised I forgot the name. Oh, is it New World Order? I think that's what it's called. Yeah, a lot of people thought it was going to be either him, or it was secretly going to be Abomination and he's actually a bad guy, or they thought it was going to be, I don't even know who else. There's a lot of people that probably could have been, but I saw it being Todd from miles away for sure. I mean, I guess there were times where I thought it could have been somebody else, like, shoot, who's that one guy that like took her blood or whatever? I don't know why I can't remember his name at the moment, but I guess I just don't care. Yeah, for a little bit, I was like, oh, is it going to be that guy? But in the back of my mind, I was always pretty much certain that it was going to be Todd, just the way they kind of described him in like interviews leading up to the show and whatnot. So kind of disappointing that it was an obvious reveal there. But what they did with Todd, I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting him to inject himself and get Hulk powers. I wasn't expecting the whole breaking the fourth wall and She-Hulk going to Marvel Studios thing, which I'll talk about in a second here. But yeah, Hulk Todd, that was a sight to see. That was some ugly shit. But yeah, Todd Hulk's out, goes after Jen. Abomination saves her. So Abomination's still a good guy. He probably just didn't realize what was going on with Intelligentsia with all that going on. But that being said, he's still transformed into Abomination. So once the episode wraps up, he is back in the cell that he was in before for violating his parole. I believe he's got to be there for 10 years. But obviously, in the after credits scene, we see Wong pick him up and he goes to Kamar-Taj. So basically, we have those two characters together for whenever they both show up next. That'll be cool. So yeah, kind of close off the whole Abomination chapter from this episode and also mention the after credits. So don't have to mention that. But yeah, Titania ends up showing up randomly for whatever reason. I have no idea. And then Hulk shows up, fights Abomination for a minute, which was pretty cool. And then Jen's just like, what's going on here? Like, this is too crazy. And she's like, is this what you want? Like, this isn't what you wanted, is it? And I'm like, I don't know, not necessarily, but like, I was kind of enjoying watching it. And then you just stopped it right there, went to the Disney Plus menu, hopped out of your own show and went to another one. Basically, it's just like the Marvel behind-the-scenes show. I forget exactly what it's called. Assembled, I think. But yeah, she heads into that show. She's on the Marvel Studios lot or whatever, goes to talk to the writers, and goes to talk to Kevin, which we're all like, oh, Kevin Feige, we're going to get a cameo from Kevin Feige. No, it's actually some artificial intelligence. The little acronym Kevin on there even looks like Kevin Feige's little hat that he always wears. Like, he always wears different baseball hats or whatever, the ones with the brim. So yeah, that was funny. But for quite a while, I was just like in between loving it and just being like, what the fuck is this? Like, I was in between enjoying myself and thinking it was the most creative, most fun thing that Marvel has ever done, which it still is. Trust me, it really still is, to me at least. But for the most part, I was just confused as hell, a little let down, but at the same time, so intrigued at the premise of it that I was just, you can't help but like, just be like, what the hell? This is crazy. It really is crazy. And that's something that, again, no other Marvel show or movie has ever done, at least in the MCU. So I mean, the thing that interests me is, like, are we going to see Daredevil do something similar to that? That'd be really, really interesting, and I'd be down for that. But, yeah, for a little bit there, I was just, like, so confused, and honestly, I'm still a little confused about the implications of all of this, but this show is very much a just kind of turn your brain off and enjoy it type of show. So I didn't take it as anything, like, too crazy, and like didn't really take it as world building, because I don't think that's something we're gonna see again. I could be completely wrong, but I don't know. For a little bit there, I really was just kind of pissed off at it. I was like, really? This makes every other Marvel movie and show feel like it has no stakes, because hey, the character can just go to Marvel Studios and rewrite it. But like, the more I think about it, the more it seems perfect for the character, and it is the better version of the finale, I guess you could say. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Easter eggs in that whole scene with Kevin, and I'm not gonna like break down all the Easter eggs or anything like that, but it seems like they were teasing that that Hulk could be getting a movie soon. So that, I mean, that would make sense. It's still owned by Universal, so I don't know how the MCU would do that necessarily, but it's something that a lot of people have been wanting to see for a long time, especially since the only Hulk movie we've had in the MCU didn't even have the Hulk that we have now. It had, what's his name again? Why am I forgetting names right now? Edward Norton. There we go. I knew it would come to me. But we had the original MCU version of the Incredible Hulk, and it was a completely different actor. And now that we have a new actor, Mark Ruffalo, who's been playing him since Avengers 2012, we still haven't had another Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo as the character. So I think now is the perfect opportunity, especially with what they introduced with having his son Scar. It's the perfect opportunity to have like a World War or a Planet Hulk movie. And I think that's something that they're trying to set up. So hopefully that does work out. Again, I don't know how that's going to work with Universal still owning the rights to the Hulk, but I mean, Disney's bought a lot of other stuff in the past. They're able to do the X-Men now and all sorts of other stuff. So when there's a will, there's a way. And I think they finally have something worth, finally have a story worth telling. So hopefully that can be put in motion a little bit. We'll have to wait and see for the future. But I mean, hey, that could end up being like a phase six. Avengers, Kang Dynasty, and Secret Wars are six, I believe. So, I mean, there's a lot of movies and shows that we still don't know about from Phase 6. All we know about, really, and there's been some delays, but I imagine it'll all still be in Phase 6. But, like, Fantastic Four and then the Avengers movies are the only ones that we know about from Phase 6. So, there's a lot of opportunity for them to make another Hulk movie. And there's the time, there's the space. So, hopefully they do it. And then obviously I feel like, you know, Jennifer Walters would show up in that as well. Speaking of Jennifer Walters showing up in something, I have a feeling we might see her again in Daredevil Born Again, especially since it seems like they, Matt Murdock and Jennifer Walters are a full-on couple, which I absolutely love. So I'm definitely looking forward to most likely seeing her again in that show. Now, the only unanswered question, the only like, kind of basic question, because the whole like Kevin thing, there's so many questions with that, but I guess the basic question here is, and maybe it's not even that important to most people, but like, I don't think she's working at JLKNH, if that's what it's called. I don't think she's working there anymore. And even if her name, you know, was what am I trying to say here, even if she was like vindicated or whatever, and her boss was like, hey, come back, I feel like she's the type of character to have the dignity to say no after him basically just screwing her over after Intelligentsia, you know, just crashed the whole lawyer of the year thing for her. So I don't think she's going to be back at JLKNH. I think she's going to have her own practice. Do I think she's going to join Nelson and Murdoch? I don't think so, but that'd be cool just to see the two lawyers work together again. So I do think we are going to be seeing She-Hulk again sooner rather than later. I don't think she'll be in like Ant-Man and the Wasp or anything, but I do think she will be in that Daredevil show. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to just, you know, how this show affects the MCU overall and the things that they can do going forward because of the groundwork that this show laid. But hey, we shall have to wait and see for the future. This has been a very long video, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here. But again, no spoilers down in the comments, but let me know what you thought about the finale, what you thought about the season as a whole. I would love to know. And if you haven't watched it yet, are you planning on watching it? Why or why not? As I said before, leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will be back in the next video to review a movie or TV show. See you later. Thank you all so much for listening. I will be back in the next episode. Oh, what will I be reviewing? I believe I should be reviewing Black Adam. I think that's going to be its own episode. It's like that review is going to be the only thing in that episode. But I imagine there will be a non-spoiler/spoiler review for that. And I also imagine that'll be a pretty lengthy review as well. So just like She-Hulk, I think the review for that should be good enough for its own episode. But yeah, after that, what else is going to be coming out? I think after that point, there's a movie called Till coming out that I'm debating on seeing. There's one called Pray for the Devil that looks absolutely awful, but I might go see it just because it's Halloween time. And then the episode after that will be a big, like, Halloween movie marathon type of episode where I review a wide range of different Halloween-themed movies. Just a couple, for example, are Beetlejuice and Halloween Town. So that's what you can expect over the next few episodes or so. I want to thank you all so much for listening once again. I am on Facebook at Pop Culture Podcast. Need to figure out how to change that to Film Punch. I'm on Instagram at Film_Punch. And I also have a Patreon that I just started, but I'm not going to be doing anything like promoting it or anything until I actually have enough content on there to make it worth paying for a subscription. But yeah, keep your eyes peeled for all that. And yeah, I'll see you in the next episode.